should there even be a Joe Rogan of the left?
No, I used to, when I worked at Media Matters, I'd be asked all the time, why do we not have a Fox News for the left? And I'm like, why would you want that? That requires lying. I mean, Joe Rogan, the reason he works is because he just sits there and believes whatever the most recent person that was talking to him, whatever they just said. That's immediately his entire worldview. He has the object permanence of a baby.
I'm Rachel Gilmore, your least favorite person's least favorite journalist. Welcome to Bubble Pop, a weekly show where we break down the biggest headlines so you don't have to doom scroll. Then we'll dig deeper into something juicy that you should know about. Today, we've got Kat Abou on the show. She watches conservatives for work, but makes fun of them for pleasure and for the enjoyment of her hundreds of thousands of followers on socials. Kat and I will be talking about the dangerous rise of right-wing grifter media. She's an American who has gone toe-to-toe with the worst of the worst, so Kat knows a thing or two about how to handle these dweebs.
Elon Musk is effectively in charge of how America spends all of its money, and he's decided things like school and social security are nanny state handouts, unlike the billions in taxpayer dollars we've given him to create various exploding vehicles.
But first, the news. Trump took a blowtorch to the international rules-based order this week, slurping Putin's Sputnik and seemingly throwing Ukraine to the wolves. A German election is right around the corner, the latest test of Elon Musk's push for global political influence. Pierre Poilievre is simping for right-wing media again as he tries to tear down trust in journalists that actually hold him to account. There are a group of terrifyingly brain-rotted Canadian simps who actually want to live in the 51st state. And finally, the full extent of Trump's ability to be truly autocratic is getting much closer to being tested as key cases wind their way to the Supreme Court. Are you ready? I hope so, because we're digging in either way. U.S. President Donald Trump is lighting existing alliances and international dynamics on fire with an embrace of Russia and attacks on both Ukraine and Europe. This is a very big deal for all of us because he's basically changing the core dynamics of the international community. So you really should care about this. It started with a 90-minute phone call Trump had with Putin, which shocked other leaders who had been using this strategy of icing Putin out over his war on Ukraine. Then the White House set up a meeting between top U.S. and Russian officials in Saudi Arabia this week. Meetings that Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, according to reporting from Bloomberg, wanted Ukraine to be a part of. But, quote, both the Americans and the Russians had insisted that they wanted to meet without the Ukrainians. Very cool stuff. Meanwhile, as Zelensky correctly accused Trump of being in a disinformation bubble, Trump has been proving him right. Even going so far as to blame the war, which started when Russia invaded Ukraine in February 2022, on Ukraine. Yeah, he actually did that, so take a listen.
But today I heard, oh, well, we weren't invited. Well, you've been there for 3 years. You should have ended it 3 years. You should have never started it. You could have made a deal. I could have made a deal for Ukraine.
Though I guess for a guy like Trump, blaming the victim is nothing new. Meanwhile, J.D. Vance made sure that Europe got the message that if they had a nightmare scenario in mind for the Trump administration's impact on the world, it was probably exactly right. He basically told them he's less worried about Russia or China than he is about the actions of Europeans themselves, which he called, quote, the threat from within.
The threat that I worry the most about vis-a-vis Europe is not Russia, it's not China, it's not any other external actor. And what I worry about is the threat from within, the retreat of Europe from some of its most fundamental values, values shared with the United States of America.
Europe's values are actually going to be put to the test in a major way on Sunday. And Elon Musk will see his efforts to not only dominate American politics, but to influence them globally put to the test as well. Because on Sunday, Germans will go to the polls and choose how they want to remake their government in a race that has seen Elon Musk throw his weight behind a party called the AfD. A far-right extreme party that used to be on the fringes of Germany's political system, but is now, incredibly, polling second behind the country's center-right party. The AfD is a virulently Islamophobic party who pledge, if elected, to, quote, ban the burqa and the Muslim call to prayer and put all imams through a state vetting procedure. And to give you a sense of their vibe, the party's former parliamentary leader has said Germany has, quote, the right to be proud of the achievements of the German soldiers in two world wars. Yes, he said two, which includes You know, the big one. Musk has been relentlessly posting supportive messages of the party. He hosted its leader in a Twitter space that he pinned to his profile for his millions of followers to see at the time. And he spoke at the party's campaign launch late last month, where he told the gathering of Germans they should move beyond, quote, past guilt. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of Germans recently took to the street in Berlin to protest the rising support for the country's growing far right. So these efforts from Musk and the pushback from the German people will be put to the test on Sunday. And what the people in Germany decide could have huge consequences for Trump's ability to reshape the international dynamics of our world, and which countries are willing to help him do it. Speaking of reshaping dynamics, conservative leader Pierre Poilievre made a promise this week to pour toxic sludge into our information ecosystem. He said he not only wants to defund CBC while potentially extending media subsidies to right-wing media sites, because, you know, these grifters will scream about media subsidies until they benefit from them, at which point I guess we'll see if their values go out the window. But Poilievre also signaled he'd like to open up the parliamentary press gallery to what he referred to as, quote, independent media, which, I don't think means independent media like me, because he doesn't answer my emails anymore, but he keeps giving his limited questions at press conferences to so-called media outlets like True North and Rebel News, who ask him hard-hitting questions like, what do you think of the booing at hockey games? So, yeah. On Thursday, he also repeatedly ignored a journalist who kept asking him why he won't take questions from all media. Take a listen.
Thank you. We'll now take questions from the floor, starting with True North.
Why aren't you accepting questions from all media?
Hello, Mr. Poilievre. Noah Jarvis, True North.
Thank you. Next question. Why media?
Questions from all media here today.
Hey, this is Shubi from My Media.
Thank you. Next question.
Why did you do that? I know that everyone asked a question.
Go ahead, sir. You have your
Oui, bonjour, Jérémy Bergeron, journaliste à Radio-Canada.
Why not take questions from everyone, sir?
Good morning, Mr. Poilievre. David Menzies with Rebel News.
Thank you. This will be the final question from Oxygen TV.
Good morning.
But I think I know why he gives so many of his limited questions to extremely friendly outlets. He's scared. So he's constantly training his audience to dismiss certain media out of hand and dismiss the facts that these tougher reporters bring to the table. Like, Poilievre also recently granted an extremely rare one-on-one interview to the wife of a Shopify executive, while simultaneously calling the Canadian Parliamentary Press Gallery a, quote, small cabal of government-approved mouthpieces. Damn. Sick burn. It would be sicker if you weren't literally talking to your own approved media when you said it, though. We need to remember that attacks on the media from government are dangerous, and you don't have to look very far to find the proof of that. When we look to the south of us, we see that Trump is seriously tightening his grip on media, threatening them with a lack of access if they don't bend to his will. He has banned Associated Press reporters from the Oval Office and Air Force One indefinitely because they won't call the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, seeing as they're an international news agency and other countries don't recognize that name. Very free speech of you guys. The toxic sludge that currently exists in Canadians' information diets has already, apparently, rotted some brains beyond repair. Because this week, I found out there's a tiny group of Canadians who have decided that they actually do want to be the 51st state. Yeah, really. I dug into it and learned that these people have a Facebook group with more than 12,000 members. They've also got an atrocious website that looks like it was designed by a sixth grader. But I noticed that when you go to donate on the website, it says your money would be going to the Alberta USA Foundation, which, based on social media posts, linked social accounts, and some media coverage, seems to have been founded by a guy named Peter Downing, an Alberta separatist who was the former leader of Wexit Canada, which is now known as the Maverick Party. So in news that probably surprises literally no one, it seems like Alberta separatists still want to separate, and now they're leading this particularly brainwormy push. As a tiny group of Canadians ignore the vast majority who are booing US anthems and buying Canadian in favor of fighting to be cucked by the Trump administration, we're also about to discover just how cucked the United States Supreme Court is, and, by extension, how fucked to U.S. democracy is. Trump's administration just asked the Supreme Court to intervene in a lower court battle that's happening right now over the fact that Trump fired Hampton Dellinger, the head of the office of an independent federal agency that provides a, quote, secure channel for federal employees to blow the whistle by disclosing wrongdoing, which is, you know, a slightly important job to keep free from political influence. Anyways, Trump fired Dellinger, so Dellinger sued, saying, you can't do that, and a federal judge agreed with Dellinger, reinstated him, and now Trump is asking the Supreme Court to weigh in. What they decide will be another major test of Trump's ability to get away with overextending his powers, in this case, firing public officials. But that's not all. Another key case is also headed for a major Supreme Court showdown, the one over birthright citizenship. See, the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution grants American citizenship to anyone born on U.S. soil, but Trump wants to add an asterisk to that, denying that citizenship to kids born to parents whose mothers aren't legally in the country and whose fathers aren't citizens or permanent residents. A U.S. Court of Appeals just denied the Justice Department's request to immediately reinstate that executive order, and that has basically teed it up for a Supreme Court challenge. The result of that will, again, show us just how easily and how severely Trump can get away with remaking the country in his image. But, you know, according to Trump's social media on Saturday, quote, he who saves his country does not violate any law. So I'm sure that won't radicalize anyone, and no one will interpret that as a blank check to do whatever they want in support of Trump, right? Trump also, for the record, just seemed to call himself a king. Those are the big headlines from this week. After the break, we've got Kat Abou on the show. She's an American internet icon who terrifies the worst men you can imagine and cuts down right-wing grifter media types like it's an art form. And today, we're her students. We'll be right back. Right-wing media and horrible dudes with podcasts seem to be more powerful than ever. I mean, when Trump won the election, people like Joe Rogan and Theo Vaughn got a special shout out on stage as he celebrated his victory. Canada seems poised to follow in these footsteps. I mean, first off, according to podcast charts, we listen to a lot of the same dudes. And our homegrown right-wing outlets have been getting an unsettling amount of access to conservative leader Pierre Poilievre, as mainstream or more progressive media voices are attacked and shut out. This has got people asking, where is the Joe Rogan of the left? And how do we drown out the voices of these dudes who won't shut up? Well, today on the show, we're going to explore these questions with the Da Vinci of destroying right-wing men's egos, the Mozart of taking podcast bros to task. She's an internet icon, a Twitch streamer, and has reported for Media Matters, Mother Jones, and Zateo. Kat Abou, welcome to Bubble Pop.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. I'm actually blushing in my office.
Good, good. We aim to please here. We aim to flatter, so...
Well, so, thank you for having me on. I'm very excited to be on the podcast that's number 6 on Canada's Spotify podcast charts.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're super stoked. It's a really good start. And, you know, before long, we'll dethrone Joe Rogan in Canada. That's plan, hot, right? Okay, so I want to start with a tough question for you, because I'm going to maybe need you to not compliment them, but be nice to these men for like a second.
I'll try.
What are these guys getting right?
I think, honestly, I think that there's just like this huge demand for men to feel like they have a community. And I think they find it in right-wing media, especially like these podcasts where it feels like you're talking to a bud and like you're hanging out in Joe Rogan's basement. Like, I think that is a huge part of this. I mean, it was the same thing like every right-wing movement, you know, not to immediately pull out the Nazi comparisons, but like Hitler Youth was like a big part of bringing young men into a very overtly fascist movement. Men seek community, and the modern capitalist Western world actively tries to keep them away from it. It's kind of in the same way, I think, that wrestling is men's version of camp. Drag is gay, but wrestling is very manly, but also camp. But like, wrestling's fun to watch. It's goofy. Totally. It's like watching Drag Race. Like, it's camp.
Yeah.
And so I just genuinely think that that is a big part of it. There's also, you know, once you're in this sphere, like, we know, you know how easy it is for people to get radicalized on the internet. Once you're in there, you're like, oh, it feels like I'm talking to my buddy, or like, wow, they have a lot of interesting points. And like, I just want to talk to someone. I just want to have a friend. And then it's like, oh, now I, you know, think the 14 words are, you know, implanted in my brain.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, you know, and that's the thing, right? Like, these guys seem to be having a real impact on U.S. politics and institutions. And, you know, one thing that they say is that when America sneezes, Canada catches a cold. So, like, I'd really appreciate it if you guys could start covering your mouth when you cough.
Me too.
But, yeah. But can you walk us through, like, why we should care that these guys are being listened to? Like, why shouldn't we dismiss them here in Canada or in the U.S.?
So I think a lot of, you know, I used to cover Fox News, which is the biggest cable news channel in the U.S. I think y'all have it up in Canada, too. They certainly have a lot of Canadian guests to talk about how Justin Trudeau is making everyone trans up there or something.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what he's doing, actually.
Is that what's it's happening? Awesome. That's so cool. Tucker Carlson was the top-rated cable news host when he was there. He kind of took this entire world by storm when he came on very suddenly after Bill O'Reilly's firing. And Bill O'Reilly, it's 8 p.m. time slot, basically gives you millions of people, millions of eyes every single night. And that had its own influence because the Republican Party in the U.S. essentially used Fox as a way to push their agenda. And then eventually it became Fox was using the GOP as a way to push their agenda. So these two things were very interlaced. And I think that influence can't be overstated. And like, that's scary to have this influence in government. But I think this podcast sphere, obviously it's bleeding more, as you said, like with the inauguration day and stuff like that, it's bleeding more into that overtly political space of having, you know, like legislative repercussions. But it also bleeds into the people you know and love, your brothers, your dads, your uncles, your nephews, I guess. I don't think we give enough attention to the nephews of the world.
Yeah, it's really sad. They're overlooked.
It's really sad. My favorite Chiron on Fox ever was concerned uncle of four, and then he was talking about like woke school board meetings.
Oh my God. That's
so funny. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And so it's just this influence, I think the scariest part is how it affects the people day to day, not just the lunatics in power or insecure men in power or whatever it may be, but how it can like warp the minds of people that like, you know, that you grew up with, that you know are rational, loving people. But if you're living in an echo chamber, all you'll hear is echoes.
Yeah. And I think that's something that I run into a lot is I feel like with the approach that you and I take towards these guys, I think a lot of people think maybe we don't have empathy. But like, honestly, the people who are impacted by the top voices in these spheres are people that we care about and are people who like others love, you know, and it's actually like out of caring for those people and the people who they turn around and hurt that I think we kind of do what we do. But, you know, I wanted to ask you in light of that, like responding to these guys, do you feel like the mainstream media ecosystem and like the highest profile politicians have figured out how to counter this like right-wing grifter sphere with the way that they communicate?
Oh, I think we got really close last summer, like when we had this Kamala Harris change candidate vibe and we were calling all of them weird and we were like, that's some real freak shit that you're really concerned about children's penises. Like, you won't stop talking about children's penises. Why are you so focused on this? And then they decided to abandon that because they don't like winning. I think just like taking that step away is the best way, like individual one-on-one. Like, one of my favorite things is when someone says a really racist or sexist joke, I'll just be like, I don't get it. Can you explain it to me? And then all of a sudden that person is really embarrassed. And I'm like, wait, no, but what's the punchline? Like, I don't understand the punchline. Can you explain it? Waking up from that, we're all immersed in this evil cesspool all the time, and just kind of stepping away from that for a second and pretending we're not can really help distance you and your loved ones or whoever you're talking to from hell, the hell we live in.
And like, okay, do you feel like we even have someone who's equivalent, though, on, you know, the progressive side of things to the Joe Rogans and the Theo Vaughns? Like, should there even be a Joe Rogan of the left?
No, I used to, when I worked at Media Matters, I'd be asked all the time, why do we not have a Fox News for the left? And I'm like, why would you want that? That requires lying. I mean, Joe Rogan, the reason he works is because he just sits there and believes whatever the most recent person that was talking to him, whatever they just said. That's immediately his entire worldview. He has the object permanence of a baby. And as for people like Tucker Carlson, like, they rely on lies. And the information that I want to communicate doesn't. And that's like the real big difference there. And it's easier when things are so confusing and messy and complicated to just be like, okay, I'll believe this lie. This is so much simpler. It's so much simpler to believe that Jews sent space lasers to change the weather than to understand and really comprehend that we have ruined our climate as much as we possibly can to this point through greed. And so it's so much easier. But I don't want to do that. That's lame.
100%. And, you know, and I think you're really effective at communicating and combating that. And that's sort of the overall question that I think people really mean to ask when they ask about there not being or there needing a Joe Rogan on the left. It's more like, how do we deal with these liars and grifters and counteract their messaging in an effective way? And, you know, as I mentioned, you really are an artist at that.
I mean, so are you.
Oh my God, thank you. You know, yeah, I learned from the greats. So, so like, what have you found works for you in dealing with these guys?
I mean, honestly, and I'm sure you get this too, Rachel, there is like being a conventionally attractive woman does help a lot because it just instantly triggers them. Like, not in terms of success or making people listen, but like they're so instantly threatened by that you're kind of starting with them on their back foot. I mean, I think about Mike Davis, who is just, he's a guy on Twitter for anyone who doesn't know, and very in with all these, you know, Project 2025 guys, like very deep in that sphere. He was on the short list originally to be the Attorney General of the United States. And one time he tried to get me fired, and when Elon Musk bought Twitter, to get me banned from the site because I tweeted that no billionaire could get laid on a $40,000 a year salary. When you make them feel insecure, they either get violent or they get really, really upset. And I think the meltdowns are how I handle it. And I'm just glad it hasn't gotten violent.
Yeah, you break their brains.
Yeah,
hope they don't do break you in turn.
Yeah.
Violence.
Woo, amazing. Yay. It's cool being a woman. I love being a woman.
It's so fun.
That's the benefit of living in a skyscraper now. Like, I live in a skyscraper, and it's so hard to get to my apartment. And so, like, I feel really safe. It's awesome.
You need grappling hooks to get you. In light of that, there's this new personality on TikTok that I've been seeing a lot lately. Her name's Suzanne Lambert, and she's been like making fun of Republican women's makeup, for example. And,
yeah.
You know, and so we've kind of seen this debate come out about that, like, for lack of a better word, mean girl approach. There's a lot of criticism that when dealing with these types, like, oh, when they go low, we should go high, you know? What do you think? And I feel like I maybe already know the answer to that, but like, how do you respond to that debate?
Oh my God, no, we're so beyond going high. Like, we are so, I mean, Michelle Obama, the person who said that quote, is so beyond going high. Like her speech at the DNC, it was so clear. I think that there is something to be said. Like, I don't like when people just constantly talk about how, like, ugly or fat Trump is. I don't care. There are a lot worse things about him. But also, I have no problem clowning on these people. Like, if you have no style, if you get no bitches, if you can't post, that is a you problem. It's not because of your race or your gender or your sexuality. It's because you as an individual are lame. And I think they deserve to know that, because there is nothing conservatives want more than to be part of the culture, to be cool. And they just never will be. It's just not going to happen. They're cool in their bubbles. But it's the same reason that they always complain, like, they don't have celebrities. They'll be like, these celebrities are so woke or whatever. And it's like, you would kill your vice president to get Taylor Swift to just post about you once in a positive light. Yeah. You would kill him on national television. So no, this is not, you're not too cool for them. They are too cool for you. And they are very upset about that. That's how we got the Patriot Awards on Fox News.
I actually don't know that show. And I think I'll have to tune in.
Every year they have the Patriot Awards, which are their versions of the Oscars. And for example, one year they have like usually about five awards. One year it was Patriot of the Year, Most Valuable Patriot, the Back the Blue Award, and the 2022 Patriotic Badass Award, which went to the host and our new defense secretary, Pete Hegseth.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's a really cool show. So high, it's definitely for sure. Very high standards.
Meritocracy in action.
Two years in a row, Hannity did the exact same impression of Bill Clinton and Mark Levin. He just did the same bit and thought no one would notice. But guess what, Rachel? Guess what? I noticed.
Yeah. Hello.
I know there's a lot of really hot chicks that watch Fox News.
Any fans with Mark Levin fans here?
That's it. I'm done. Well, and that's kind of the takeaway that I've had in dealing with these types too, is I feel like it comes down to, in a lot of ways, a power struggle, right? Like, it's what these guys are responding to is not necessarily the facts or alternative facts or whatever, like lies being said, but they found a community. And they feel as though they are following a powerful person. And I think that in some ways, attacking those people as losers and weird hits at that like core principle of what they're attracted to, which is the power. Like, do you think that's a fair analysis?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Exactly. That's why they need weapons. That's why they're constantly blustering. That's why the asshole you know at work has a gigantic pickup truck despite never hauling anything in his life. And we don't need to do like the small penis, you know, comparisons. It's just like a feeling of inadequacy makes you compensate by being violent, by hating others, by lashing out. They like when, you know, you have triggered libs get really angry and talk about how awful this is. And yeah, all this shit is awful, but I always say, you know, fascism, it's scary, it's evil, it's terrifying, it's also so stupid. Everything is so stupid, and you have to remember that.
Yeah. I think that that's maybe one of the things that's so frustrating, is it's all so stupid and they're winning. Like, that I think
for now.
For now, exactly. And that's actually what I wanted to ask you. Like, how do you hold on to hope and like keep the strength to like fight? Because I think a lot of people listening are probably feeling really frustrated by like the headlines they see every day, and like Elon Musk's 20-year-olds being able to ruin people's lives and take away their health insurance and like the snap of their fingers. So yeah, how do you keep going?
I mean, I also say this, fascism is antithetical to the human condition. You know, I think about like the book 1984, so Orwellian. but I think about the book 1984, and it has, you know, these nations that are just, there's no escape. There's no way to escape the authoritarianism. That truly just, it can't happen forever. As scary as that thought is, that can't be our reality, because human beings just won't let it. Even if it takes a lot of lives, even if it takes, God forbid, bloodshed, like the human nature just doesn't want to be ordered around for eternity. Eventually they go too far, and what we have to do in the meantime is just try to make sure the fewest amount of people get hurt, try to push through and help our own communities and gain power in the meantime. This isn't forever, but it's gonna feel like it. I mean, I feel like we've lived a year in this administration. It's been 1 month. So that's cool.
Yeah. You know, obviously, like, we're in another, well, I am in another country for now. Being in the US, you guys are obviously like kind of further down this slide than we are here in Canada, but we're seeing a lot of like similarities and patterns that we're copying, and we kind of tend to do really similar things to you, but we're just a few steps behind. Do you have any advice for Canadians right now for like things you wish you had done like before this, or things you're glad you did?
Yeah, I mean, I have no regrets on me, because I personally am perfect, but yeah, I do wish our liberal, quote unquote, liberal party was far more aggressive and progressive. Make sure you get your passport. I do have to say, like, here in America, you know, we go hard on a lot of things. Like, when we do something, we're really doing it. So
this is
far more accelerationist than I expected. And I did a 1-hour video just talking about white Christian nationalism and like what to expect. And even I have been like, Jesus, they're going so fast. So just watch what we're doing and try not to do that. Maybe.
100%.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Whatever America's doing, do the opposite. But whatever Kat is doing, do the same. You guys get it? Yeah. In case we do end up at war, Kat, do you think you could kill me? Do you think you could take me in a fight?
Oh my God. No, I'm not going to be drafted. I have narcolepsy.
Oh my God. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
I have anxiety. I don't think that's enough anymore.
You should get narcolepsy. But it makes you fucking miserable and you fall asleep constantly.
Sounds brutal.
Could you kill me?
I mean, Kat, let's be honest. Just pure size difference. I am
pure size difference. But if we're doing guns, like, I'm a good shot. I'm
Are
a really
you?
Good. Yeah.
I don't know. That
Grew up in Texas.
Yeah. So as long as you just got to stay out of arm's reach. So
yeah. No, but definitely you could stomp on me.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I did actually seriously want to ask you, like, how are normal Americans responding to this 51st state stuff? I mean, it is crazy. Are you guys even thinking about it? Because there's so much going on there.
There's so much going on. Like, I was calling my editor, Mother Jones, today, and I was just like, we were talking about Elon Musk and all these other things. And I was like, oh, my God. And then there's the J.D. Vance Nazi German stuff, like the AFD stuff. And he was like, I can't even think about that. Like, there are only so many thoughts in a day. But as far as the Canada stuff here in Chicago, I feel like any time I've talked to someone, it's just been, oh, for f***ing sake. Like, every time it comes up, just like, oh, Jesus f***ing Christ. But I mean, I would welcome you into my horrible, terrible country. It's not horrible and terrible. We have really wonderful people here, but it's democracy and such, blah, blah, blah. But like, this is, you know, horrible, terrible things are happening and we are going to try our best to stop them. At least I am.
Totally. And I'm right there with you. And I think a lot of my listeners are too.
You got this, Rachel. Single-handedly save Canada.
Oh, 100%. I am big enough. I think I can do it. You know, in case you guys don't know who are listening, I am 6 feet tall. So, you know, got a lot of muscle to fight for Canada.
Yeah, y'all should know I have like the biggest crush on Rachel. It's insane.
Yeah, as you should, Kat. It's like, I know. It's a little weird, but it's okay. You know, it's we all have fans, right? So Kat, that's pretty much everything that I wanted to ask you. And now that I've had you reveal to the audience how huge of a crush you have on me and how attractive you find me, I am sufficiently, my ego has been stroked enough that we can kind of wrap things up. But I did want to give you a chance, before I fully end the conversation, like, is there anything, since you're the wizard of defeating disinformation grifters, like, is there anything that we didn't touch on in this conversation that you want to say? It's totally fine if there's not, but.
No, but I would like to ask you a question.
Yeah.
What's like something good that's happened in, you know, the last week? I think I asked you this when you were on my stream last week, but yeah. I like just asking people this question all the time.
That's a great question. Oh my God, you should be hosting this podcast. Oh, I'd have to think. You know what? It snowed a ton in Eastern Canada in the last week. Crazy amounts of snow.
Oh yeah. One of my best friends sent me a picture from outside her window and it's like the entire door is all piled up.
Literally what I'm seeing behind my camera right now. But what's really great is everywhere I walked around, there were people helping each other. There were people shoveling themselves out of, or shoveling each other's cars out and pushing each other's cars when they were stuck. And like every time you heard wheels spinning in the snow, you saw everyone around stop to make sure that person doesn't need help before they kept going. And there were even people who turned the snow piles into a ski jump. So, you know, we saw people make the best out of a bad situation in a very real way in the last week. And I think that just speaks to, you
know, my cheeks hurt. That's
how resilient
sweet.
We all are. Yeah. How about you? Anything good happen to you?
You know,
it's tough asking an American that question right now, eh?
Yeah, it like, especially when I've been working on scripts, like I have a whole script being like, this is why you should care about trans people existing.
Oh, God.
My cat has been really cute this morning. I had allergies so bad that I woke up at 4 and couldn't get back to sleep. Oh. And so we went out and hung out in the living room. And when the sun rose, she napped in a sunbeam. It was lovely.
I honestly feel like this is the real way that we survive everything that's going on right now, is take those little moments and just hold them close because they make a big difference, right? They just help you to remember what you're fighting for and what actually matters in life. So anyways, on that super heavy note, Kat Abu, thank you so much for coming on here and giving us a masterclass in taking down the worst men on the internet and staying optimistic. I want to give you the floor now to tell people where they can watch you in action. Where can people find you?
You can find me on most platforms, Blue Sky, I'm Kat M. Boo, YouTube, I'm the same, TikTok, I'm the same, Twitch, I'm the same, and then you can go on there to find my Instagram and other places. I have a really long last name. I stream on Twitch on Thursdays at 2:30 Central Time. I'm still getting used to time zones now that I don't live on the East Coast. And you can also sign up for my Patreon if you want to support my work. For $1 a month, you get a daily picture of my cat. And she's really cute. Her name is Heater. She is orange. She has feline leukemia virus. And she's the love of my life.
That is a great deal, folks. So you better all subscribe. Kat Abou, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was an honor to have you here on Bubble Pop.
Thanks for having me, Rachel. Good luck with the rest of the pod.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of Bubble Pop. I'm Rachel Gilmore, your least favorite person's least favorite journalist. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing to Bubble Pop on YouTube, Patreon, Substack, and wherever you like to listen. You can also find me on TikTok, Instagram, Twitch, and Blue Sky. I'd like to say a special thank you to Hans Vivian Wenzel for making the incredibly groovy music for Bubble Pop. You can find more of his stuff on Spotify under the artist name Hans, lowercase h with an exclamation mark. Thanks again for spending this time with me. Doing this is a dream, and I couldn't do any of it without your support. So I'll see you next time.